Hi, welcome to my podcast. My name is Nancy Florence, life and business coach. I created this episode to inspire you to create the life and the business you truly desire. Enjoy.
Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for joining. And I'm really, really excited to share this material with you because self-love is something that I have struggled with all my life. Who hasn't? And also is something that I struggled with a lot in my life as an entrepreneur. And so I'm here today to share with you the things that have worked for me, the things that have worked for my clients. And I'm really, really excited and on fire about sharing this material with you. I've been a fervent student of entrepreneurship and spiritual practice. They go hand in hand for the last 7 years. So what I'm going to share with you is based on everything I've learned from my own coaches, from my own experience, and also from that of my beautiful clients who have had the privilege to work with. So I'm actually going to kick off with a poem from the universe written by Mike Dooley. And he writes beautiful notes called Notes from the Universe, which I highly recommend you sign up for. Here it goes. You're beautiful enough. You're special enough. You're sexy, playful, and fun enough. You've worked enough. You've cried enough. You've been grateful, generous, and kind enough. Okay then? Okay. The universe. I love this one. And actually, it's a magnet that I have on my fridge that I look at every day. You can purchase them on Mike Dooley's website. So love yourself more than your success. Why did I title the masterclass this way? It's because often we don't give ourselves permission to love ourselves until we get the success, until we get the money, until we get the clients, until we get to the level where we want to be. We don't really allow ourselves to feel proud, to feel anchored in this feeling of personal dignity and self-love. And I want to transform that for women entrepreneurs all over the world so that they learn to appreciate themselves and to love themselves on their way to success before they manifest what they want. And that's why we're here. So I'm going to dive straight in, and there's going to be a Q&A portion at the end in case you have questions. The number one thing, and if you only take one thing from this session, let it be this, that your desires are there in your heart for a reason, and you're not wrong to want what you want. Love your desire. Really love your desire. Fall in love with it. And here's what I mean by that. If you have a desire to be a superstar in your field, that desire is meant for you. It wouldn't have been placed in your heart by God, the universe, life, until it was meant for you. If it wasn't meant for you that you become a superstar in your field, in your industry, you would have had a different desire. You would have had the desire to be a primary school teacher, or to be a stay-at-home mom, or whatever it is. You would have had a different desire. But if you feel called to make a huge impact on the world, if you feel called to make a lot of money, if you feel called to become a superstar, it's because that's what's meant for you. Love your desire. Don't make yourself wrong for wanting what you want, especially the money. And that's because there's a culture in the world, and especially amongst women, that desiring large amounts of money, desiring to create six figures, seven figures, is somewhat greedy and ambitious and wrong. Well, I'm here to tell you that it's not. You wouldn't have a desire to create such a thing, again, unless it was for you. That desire is yours. And some spiritual teachers will argue that one, and this is controversial, you don't have to agree with this is only one view. They'll argue that one cannot live a full life unless they have a lot of money. And that's because money doesn't give us happiness, but it gives us choices. And so your desire for money really is nothing other than your desire for choices and your desire for freedom. So love your desire, really fall in love with it. And love yourself when you're experiencing this burning desire. Love yourself when you experience the craving, the burning fire, the hunger, the pain, and the agony of not yet having what you want. Love yourself in that. Pre-manifestation. Love that you want this. Love yourself for even having that desire, for even showing up for this desire, for showing up for yourself today on this bright, beautiful Monday morning in this masterclass. Then it's about enjoying life whilst you're building your empire. And there's a way that you can build your empire, build your business, while still giving yourself permission. This is a key word here today, permission. Giving yourself permission to also enjoy living, to enjoy sleeping at night, taking your time, cooking very slowly, enjoying friendships and relationships and downtime and holidays, actually enjoying being alive, as well as being alive in your business, also being alive in your life, and give yourself permission to be someone who is relaxed, who doesn't take life and business too seriously. And enjoying your life is also highly profitable. If you have to trick your mind, you can do this. The more you enjoy your life, the slower you go, the more money you're going to make, the more success you're going to create, because enthusiasm and joy are highly attractive to money, the universe, and to clients. Something that I've experienced a lot is the push and pull between pushing and receiving. I want to speak to that. One way to practice more self-love, more compassion towards yourself, is to do less pushing in your business and more receiving. What does that mean? There's a way that we can go about our goals and pursue our goals in a pushy, masculine, aggressive way. The image that comes to mind is this, it's the energy of pushing forward, right? That's when you work very hard, you work very long hours, you force it, you make it happen, and you force it to happen. You know the energy of that. It's when you're highly stressed and you do things you're not necessarily proud of. Too pushy, too salesy. And on the other end of the spectrum, there's receiving more. It doesn't mean you're not in action. It doesn't mean you're not doing anything. It doesn't mean you're just simply sat on your meditation cushion doing nothing and praying. But it does mean a level of surrender, a level of trust in life, in the universe, that life actually wants your desires even more than you do. Not only is life, the universe, God friendly to your plan, life wants it even more than you. And life is conspiring right now to reconfigure situations and events and people around your desire to make it happen in the easiest, most beautiful, quickest way. Receiving more means becoming more attentive to your impulses. The impulse to post something online, the impulse to call somebody, the impulse to create something, the impulse to grab your journal, write something down, the impulse to create a new program, the impulse to reach out to this person. Your impulses, or actually the path, they are the easiest way to what you want. Pay attention to those. Receive the impulses, receive the thoughts, receive the ideas. And you can only receive those when you're in a space of feeling calm, feeling open, and ready to receive that divine assistance. I was having a conversation about this with one of my clients last week about how we are actually not doing this alone. We don't have to do it alone. We're certainly not doing it alone. And so you can remind yourself of that and ask for divine help. And you can pray to whoever you want. And you can say, hey, I need a hand here. I need a hand. I need a miracle. And you can ask for that and be open to the way that things unfold, the way that you feel drawn to a certain action, a certain momentum. That's information. Follow that. Oh, and you're going to love this one. This one is about giving yourself what you want. Oh, permission, permission, permission. Give yourself what you want. You want to sleep? Sleep. You want to take a nap? Take a nap. You want a six-figure business? You got it. You want a £30,000 month this month? You got it. Take it. Create it. You want to rest? Rest. Or you want to go and play? Go and play. Like, what would it be like to live life where it's okay to want what you want and you can give it to yourself? Or you want to go on a yacht in a beautiful holiday in Monaco? Yeah, you get to do that. Give it to yourself. Look at the price. Look at how ways that you can create the money. Go and do that. You want to coach celebrities. You want to, give yourself that. Give yourself what you want. Like, just nourish yourself of what you want. And it sounds really, really simple and really obvious, but how often do we make ourselves wrong for wanting these things? How often do we deny ourselves the things we want? We want to close the laptop. We want to go and play. Go and do that. Go in the forest. Yeah. You want to work with this particular person. You feel intimidated by this person. Go and ask them. Go and ask them if you can work with them. Go and ask for what you want. And this is how I've manifested the biggest miracles in my life, whether it's been, manifesting my dream home, manifesting high levels of income, manifesting my hero, Danielle, at point in my life. It came from asking for what I wanted and not making myself wrong for wanting these things. A lot of people ask me how I create clients worldwide. How is it that I have an international practice? Because it's what I've wanted from the beginning. It's what I've wanted. I gave myself permission to have that, and I asked for that. Meaning, I ask people outside of the UK if they want to work with me. That's it. Ask for what you want. I remember, California, Los Angeles with my brother, 10 o'clock at night, and he's like, we're in this part of LA, I think called Crenshaw or something like that. It's like, ghetto. But anyway, my brother is like, Chris Brown lives not too far from here. And I was like, cool, let's go and drive up there. So we go and drive up to Chris Brown's mansion, big, big mansion. It's on top of a hill. And we get there and there's a lot of cars parked inside of the gate. The gate is closed. There's a security officer at the gate. And he comes to us and he says, sorry, you can't park here and you can't stay here. And I said to him, I said, can we go in? Like, I'd really like to go and meet Chris Brown right now. Can we go in and just say hi? And he laughed and he said, ha ha ha, close mouth, don't get fed. First time I'd heard this sentence before. Close mouth, don't get fed. Yeah. Yes, close mouth, don't get fed. So ask for what you want. Give it to yourself. Here's a question for you. If you had the opportunity to speak to God this morning and God said to you, hey, I gave you life. I gave you everything you need to get what you want, why you're not creating it. Why is it that you haven't got what you want yet? Because I've given you all of the things, all of the circumstances, all of the strength, all of the talent, all of the brilliance, all of the beauty, all of the intelligence. What's going on here? What would you say to God? This is something that you can journal on. Often it's going to be a version of, well, I don't really believe that I deserve it, or I haven't really showed up, I haven't really done the work, not consistently enough, I've let myself be discouraged, I haven't really believed enough, I haven't loved myself enough. Yeah. And then there's treating yourself like you are your highest paying client. This is where service becomes an equation you're a part of. Not just your prospects, not just your clients. You also include yourself in the service equation. And so you also serve yourself. And so if you were your own client, like, okay, imagine having a $1 million client, a £1 million client. Imagine that. Imagine someone who gives you £1 million for your service. How would you treat this client? How available would you be for them? How would you show up for them? With what level of enthusiasm and life and courage? How honest would you be with them? How much help would you give to them? You would treat them with the utmost respect and love. You would come to the sessions with so much enthusiasm and curiosity and such a high vibration because they invested £1 million in working with you. What if you decided to treat yourself in this way? If you were your own £1 million client, if you were a £1 million client of somebody, how would you treat yourself day to day? What time would you go to bed? How many hours of sleep would you get if you were a £1 million client? What would you have for breakfast? What would your house look like? And your bedroom and your bedside table? What would be your shower ritual? And how much rest would you allow yourself to have? What books would you read? What makeup would you put on your face? And how much exercise would you get as a £1 million client? How would you show up on your coaching sessions? And would you be on time? Would you be prepared? How often would you meditate if you were a £1 million client? Like, can you imagine investing in yourself at that level, pouring £1 million into yourself? Can you imagine who you would become as a woman? So the urban legend has it that it costs $1 million to work with Tony Robbins for a year. Don't hold me to that. I don't know if that's true and I haven't checked. But I believe it's a seven-figure investment to work with him one-on-one. Now, if you were to invest in yourself at that level, who would you become before the coaching even starts? How would you treat yourself? And most importantly, is there a way to treat yourself like this now, before you make such a high investment in yourself? Is there a way to already treat yourself with that much delicate care and respect and honor? Is there a way to have that level of dignity about you without the £1 million? And this is really precious, especially at times when you're broke, when you haven't got a penny to your name, when you're opening up the fridge and wondering what you're going to have for lunch because the fridge is empty. Those are times when it's really tempting to beat yourself up, to judge yourself, to say to yourself that you should by now, in your 40s, 50s, whatever, you should be a success, you shouldn't be in this situation, you should have money, you should have this and that and multiple properties around the world. By now, you shouldn't be in this position. And you punish yourself. Those are times when it's really, really helpful to remind yourself of the $1 million client thing. Yeah, because we've all been there, all entrepreneurs, even seven-figure entrepreneurs, and I know this because I have spoken to them, and I regularly train with seven-figure entrepreneurs who are really open about the struggles and how even at that level, sometimes they have to juggle, you know, credit cards and live on credit cards and buy food with credit cards. And at times, they can't pay the team. They consider selling their own car to pay the team. At times, they get panicked about their own mortgage. At times, this whole machine that they've built, they don't know if they have the intelligence to keep up with it. Yeah. So, wherever you are now in your life as an entrepreneur, you're in the trenches, nothing to be ashamed of, completely normal, including the shame, including the financial hardships occasionally, including the risks that you're taking, all of it is normal, all of your desires are normal, and we're all in it together. What I'd like to share with you now is actual practical things that you can implement now in your daily routine to practice self-love. Self-love is not something that happens overnight as a result of being on this masterclass where you go away and you love yourself all of a sudden. It's something that has to be practiced, just like going to the gym. So you have your gym workout. You also have your spiritual workout, which is your spiritual practice, sitting down on your meditation cushion every day, or your prayer mat. And you also have your self-love practice. So just like brushing your teeth every day, carving out time intentionally to love and adore yourself. And I'm going to read to you some ways that you can do that. I'm also going to be sending you a self-love menu. And you can pick three from this menu that you're going to choose and implement. And I do them as well. This is from this book, Open Wide, by Melissa Ambrosini. This is a beautiful book about how to create thriving relationships. And she starts with the most important relationship, which is the relationship to yourself. I'm going to read out to you some of the self-love menu that she offers. It's really, really gorgeous. Right. So, of course, I prepared the page and now I can't find it. So bear with me one second. There you go. Got it. So, here's one. Have a bath with Epsom salts, coconut oil, and a few drops of lavender essential oil. Dim the lights. Maybe have some soft meditation music playing in the background and tell everyone you live with, do not disturb. Mm. How often do we actually do that? Here's another one. Take your favorite blanket to the park, along with a book, podcast, or your journal. Or you could simply stare up at the sky and ponder. Or this one. Get dressed up and take yourself out to lunch or dinner alone. And be fully there, not on your phone. What about this one? Pop a herbal tea, in a to-go cup and take yourself to see a hilarious rom-com at the movies. And here's another one. Cook your favorite dish for yourself. Yum. Take yourself on a solo hike. Keep your phone on airplane mode. Use it for emergencies only. And the list goes on. I'm going to share with you one self-love practice that I've recently included in my life. And so I'm going to come back to Zoom so I can talk to you. Yeah. And it's a temple. I created a temple for myself in my new home. And it's next to my bedroom. It's a small cupboard, cloak room. And it was meant to be for clothes. It was meant to be a dressing room. And I looked at it and thought, no, this is my temple. This is the temple I've always desired. And so I designed it. I give myself the gift of it. And so I created this beautiful altar on the windowsill with my crystals and my beautiful drawings. Those are gifts from one of my clients. And, and my beautiful little statue and my things, my truth bombs from Danielle Laporte. And then I put a cushion, a little mat in the shape of a heart on the floor. And I sit on it every day, several times a day. It's my refuge. It's my sacred space. I was sat there yesterday, last night, with my fiancé. We were having a beautiful chat as well. And it's where sacred conversations happen with God, with myself, with Him. It's a reminder on a day-to-day basis to operate from that high vibe mindset and to love myself more. So one action point for you after this class is to write down what self-care practice you're going to implement in your day-to-day routine. It could be that you create your own temple. It could be that you create a special ritual around your shower or your nighttime routine. It could be that you carve out 20 minutes every single day just for you, do not disturb, and you go and do what you want. You go and read your book, you go and read and watch your favorite TV episode. Give yourself what you want. And here's what's next. In terms of this week, I invite you to think about what you want to create this week. So you're scaling up to multi-six figures. That's why you're here. And so what needs to be created this week to get there? You can break it down. What is this week about? What is the work that needs to happen? What income do you need to create? And I invite you to intentionally feel calm and to feel confident about the week ahead. Because of this, optimism. Oh, optimism is the practice of saying to yourself, good things will happen. Good things will happen from this. Whatever action you take, whatever activity you engage in, just know this. Good things will happen from this. If you show up online, good things will happen. You speak to someone, good things will happen from this. You don't know what will happen from this, but trust that good things will happen. Even in the dark night of the soul, in the challenges you're in now, good things will happen. Never, ever, ever, ever lose optimism. When we lose it as women entrepreneurs, that's when things get really, really ugly and really painful. Unnecessary agony. Maintain that level of optimism. So this week, good things will happen for you. Very, very good things will happen for you, financially, spiritually, in terms of your self-love, physically, health-wise, good things will happen for you. Love-wise, good things will happen for you. Good things will happen for you. Good things will happen for you. Yes, so like I said, if you only take one thing from this class, let it be that your desires are sacred, they come from the stars, they're meant for you. Love your desire. Love yourself when you want what you want. Love yourself before you get it. Love yourself even if you don't get it. And know that you're okay even if you don't get it. You're okay no matter what. And loving yourself is something that is going to benefit your business. It's going to benefit your bank account. It's going to benefit your clients. It's going to benefit your family. And it's down to us operating on the leading edge of what it means to be a modern woman. It's down to us to model that for other women, to model what it's like to honor ourselves at the highest level. Yes. So on this note, I hope you found this helpful. And I'm giving two women an opportunity to have a creation session with me. So the creation session is 1 hour long, and it's one-on-one with me, laser coaching, purely based on you creating what you want. A creation session is about creating magic. It's about pulling what you want from the ether and bringing it to life. And it will be this week, and I'm only giving away two. This is for women entrepreneurs who are growing their business to more six figures, who are determined, who are fierce, and who are prepared to do whatever it takes to get what they want. And so if you're interested, you can send me an email, info@nancyflores.com, to book the creation session with me. First come, first served. Thank you very much for listening. And this is the Q&A portion. There's not a lot of us here on this call. Perhaps there'll be more people listening to the replay. But since you're here and you're live, I will be very honored to answer your question. Who has a question or a comment that they'd like to share? I can see a comment here about my bedroom. Okay, so there's work to be done in your bedroom. Beautiful. Any questions or comments that you'd like to share? Yes, Michelle, you are on, and I'm going to unmute yourself. Unmute you, sorry. There you go.
Hello.
Hello, Michelle.
Hi. Hi, Tamu. It's nice to see you. It's been a while. Well, it is currently 3 a.m. in the morning here. So I don't know if this is loving myself or not, but anyway, here I am.
Wow.
Made the choice to show up here today. So, yeah. I think for me recently, I've been doing a lot of self-reflection and, you know, thinking about what self-love is and what I actually want, what I want to create in my life. And I've had a lot of that recently, worrying, wondering where I should be at this moment, what I should be doing and whatever else. So that was a good point for me. Learning to become a lot more relaxed in the now and letting it happen. But you know, when you have those times when you are overwhelmed and feeling on your own, for want of a better word, what is the best way to just stay calm? Like you say, be optimistic. How do you just keep that going all the time?
So the short of it is, I don't keep it on all the time. And I'm not always high vibe. And that's the truth. And there's times when I'm very luminous and high vibration. Usually that happens a lot during the day in my business with my clients. And then behind the scenes, there's times in my personal life, especially in my personal relationships, where I'm not so luminous and not so optimistic. So that's called being human. So I want to get real about that. My personal practice is to, like, brushing my teeth, listen to nourishing content every single day, outside of working hours. So in the morning, First thing when I wake up, I will read a book that nourishes me. I will be in my journal first thing in the morning. At some point during the day, there'll be a high vibrational video from my coach, Steve Chandler, or from Gina DeVee, or there'll be a recording from Abraham Hicks at some point during the day, maybe during my lunch break. So I'm very disciplined in terms of nourishing my soul daily. Even more important to me than brushing my teeth is nourishing my spirit. That happens every day. And then how do I bring myself back? So one thing that I'm personally very good at is facing the agony. So when I'm in the agony of what I'm going through, whether it's a challenge in terms of grieving for the loss of my mom, or whether it's a challenge in terms of money, or whether it's a challenge in terms of challenges with my fiancé, or with my children, or with my ex, or whatever it is. The way that I experience agony is I think I'm very good at agonizing. I indulge in it. I'm real about it. And I'm very, very, very vocal. So when I go through it, maybe it's being French, I'd be very good at saying, do you know what? This is shit. I'm not happy with this. I'm not happy with this. And I'll be very, very clear about, I don't like this. I do not like this. I'll be negative Nancy. But I think there's something really healthy in that for me. There's something very healthy in, you know, the moment where I'm in the mud. And I'm not trying to pretend that I'm not. I'm not trying to pretend that I'm grateful. I'm not grateful. And I have a really good bitching session with somebody. And that will be with a friend or with my coach. And I'll bitch about it. I'll go through it. I'll go through the agony and then I'll get to the other side. So my way out is through. And same thing with my journal. In my journal, I detoxify a lot of the negativity that's inside of me. I'll put it all down on paper. This is shit, this is shit, this is shit, this is shit, this is shit. I lash out. I give it all I've got. And then something happens. And it's really magical. And it's new ideas. Oh, ooh, new enthusiasm, excitement about something. And I'm on the other side. And one more thing, something that I'm working on is strengthening my relationship with God, the universe. I don't really like the word God because it comes from my Christian Catholic tradition, which I don't feel aligned with anymore. But anyway, strengthening my relationship means actually really, really feeling in my bones that I am supported and that I'm not alone and that the agony is happening for me, not to me. And we're all on our own spiritual journey with this, aren't we? And so prayer. The Muslims are onto something where they pray 5 times a day. There's something about that that I want to take for myself. When you're a Muslim, you pray 5 times a day in the direction of the Mecca. I'm not a Muslim. I have no intention of becoming a Muslim. But I'm taking that, the 5 times a day thing. It's not 5 times a day for me. It's whenever. I go into my temple whenever, and it looks like whatever it is. Sometimes it looks like burning incense. Sometimes it looks like meditating. Sometimes it looks like praying. It doesn't matter what it looks like because I'm not religious. But it's going back to that space, connecting throughout the day, not just in the morning. Anything in there for you?
Yeah, what I want to ask is, because I have the same thing with the God situation, as I'm going to call it, I struggle with that one as well. I'm not religious. I'm very spiritual. So what does praying look like for you then in that instance where you're the same? Like, because praying to me feels, I don't feel aligned with it. So how can I do that in a way that I feel aligned with it? Because praying is something that I my mind automatically rejects for some reason.
I know what you mean. Because we're in the space of conscious creation. We are students of conscious creation. So praying is almost like contradicting. For me, at least, sometimes it almost feels like a contradiction. Hang on a minute. I create my own destiny. I create my own day, my own life. So what am I praying for? I create this thing. Thank you very much. So for me, my spiritual evolution caused me to focus on co-creation versus creation. Co-creation meaning I'm not arrogant enough to think I'm doing this alone. It is a co-creation with the universe. So I show up and there's so much magic on the other side. Like, if I think back to all of the miracles, even being in this house, that's not me. That's like magic. That's like a gift from the sky. All I've done is look at it for 3 years and think about it. I've done nothing else. And then 7 years later, boom. Magic. There's a part of it that is not on my control. So that's where the prayer comes in. It's like, hey, can I have a little bit of divine assistance, please? Just a little bit. A little bit of magic. Just pour a little bit of gold on me right now. Speak through me. I don't have the words. I don't know what to do. Use me. Give me some help. A little bit of magic dust. That's what prayer looks like for me.
Okay. Yeah, that feels better. That looks better than, like you say, sitting there and, oh, please, please make this happen for me, you know, or please, you know, please do this for me kind of thing. Yeah, okay. That sounds good.
This is a beautiful conversation to be had because I remember in my education as a Christian, there was a notion of God knows how many hair you have on your head. And I never forgot that. I think that's beautiful to think that there's a consciousness that knows me that well, that knows me from even before I was born, from me in the womb, you know. Oh, there's something that loves me that much, like this thing called life. And so the spiritual connection helps us to see ourselves through the eyes of Source.
Yeah, that's good. It's, for me as well, my upbringing was slightly conflicted where religion is concerned because my mother was a Catholic and my father is Protestant. So, and I grew up in Glasgow. And at that time, religion was a battle between Catholics and Protestants. Probably still is today. Probably always will be in some shape or form. And it was very difficult for me. I was beaten up. I was bullied. I was a whole host of negative connotations, you know, and that for me, I grew up thinking, no, this religion's not a good thing. It's the biggest divide between people. It's caused a lot of pain. It's caused me personal harm. You know, it's caused me to be beaten up many, many times, actually, you know. So I think I grew to have this block where religion's concerned. It's not a good thing. It's negative. So I've struggled for a long time with finding that kind of peace with God and with religion, you know, and having that present. So I don't like using the word God. I always use the word universe. I don't like prayer. I've always seen it as meditation, manifesting, or whatever the case might be. So yeah, it's interesting to have a different kind of perspective, because when I went to see Danielle Laporte in Seattle in June, she talked about that very subject, actually, while we were in St. Mark's Cathedral, of all places, beautiful building. And it is something it's kind of coming up for me recently. So it's clearly something that I need to resolve.
And how is that going to nourish you in terms of self-love? What's the opportunity here for you?
The opportunity is to move past the negative feelings, the negative connotations around it, and see it as something that's good now, not something that's bad. Not just see it as something good, feel good about it.
Yeah. Being an entrepreneur is a little bit like having a baby. Everybody wants it, but they don't expect what the labor is going to be like. They have no idea what the labor is going to feel like. In this case, in the case of entrepreneurship, it doesn't last 3 days. It lasts like 10 years, right? And so being able to bear the pain of labor, to sustain the effort for that long, to love ourselves through it. And so I'm talking about that, about labor, because there's nothing wrong with what you're doing or not doing. There's nothing wrong with where you are. I say 10 years, could be 20, could be 30. For Morgan Freeman, it was 30 years. And he didn't make it as an actor until he was in his, well into his 50s, having lost his wife and children because he was a broke, unsuccessful actor, and yet he never gave up. And I always carry his story in my heart, because that takes such faith. So I don't think God, the universe, is up there thinking, do you have what it takes? I think it's like the gift of a baby. It comes with a process. There's a process that goes into it. And I think there's a process to creating a successful business. And even when you have a successful business, there's still agony. Even when you have the baby, there's still agony. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, even when I had the spa and it was thriving and, you know, we had bookings every day, all day, constantly, there's always a process and there's always challenges. So, you know, staff not turning up, staff doing things wrong, whatever the case might be, there's every day there's always something.
Yeah.
You know. And for me personally.
Go on.
For me personally, that part of it is, I always thrived off that part of it. You know, fixing everything, having the challenge every day. That's the bit that I get off on. I'm probably a lot different to many people.
The divine assistance And I leave you with this thought, because you can, I mean, you know, you can nurture it and pray on it, as a matter of fact. The divine assistant is, have you noticed how something always happens? You know, like you're in the shit, you're in the mud, and something always happens. Like your arms get rescued every time, you know? Something always happens. Something's going to happen this week. Something always happens. You're always safe.
There's one thing I can tell you that I've learned through the many life's ups and downs that I've had, as I'm always okay. I've learned that. I learned that very early on. Always okay no matter what. You just got to keep going. Just got to keep getting up, dressing up and showing up every single day. Winston Churchill's a saying that I always go back to: when you're going through hell, you don't stop. You just keep going. You don't stop and sit, wait for someone to shoot you or whatever, you know, because the hell he's talking about was obviously the war. You just keep going.
Thank you. Thank you, Michelle, and thank you for being here, even though it's 3 o'clock in the morning in Vancouver.
You're very welcome. I wouldn't miss it for the world, no matter what time zone.
Thank you. I'm going to mute your line. And do we have another question or comment? I see Tammy's in the house. Yes. Would you like to say something?
I muted myself.
Yes.
Good morning, Nancy, is what I would like to say first of all. I don't know if I've got a question in particular, but I would say that I was obviously supposed to be here because prayer is something that I have been very drawn to in the last few months. And actually, what drew me here on a cognitive level, so emotionally, I'm like, yes, I'm here for the conversation about prayer, and I jump between God, universe, divine source, divine beloved, my ancestors, whatever energy I'm feeling at that particular time, and my paternal grandmother when I'm really feeling like I'm in the wilderness, because she always scoops me up. But I am still very, very attached to two things being a measure of my worth. Number one, my level of tangible, instant gratification productivity. Number two is what my bank account is saying. I'm still there, Nancy. I'm still there. And I have got mechanisms to remind me. Someone, like yesterday, I was writing down the things I'd done last week, and I got annoyed with myself because last week my story for the whole week was I wasn't doing enough. And then when I wrote, I've got like a peer mentoring group, when I wrote in the group the things that I had done, I was like, oh my goodness, you did do stuff. But then it was that thing where I let myself off the hook and gave myself validation because I did do stuff. It's not stuff that I'm going to feel the benefits of immediately. Sorry, my connection is saying it's unstable. Have I frozen? Okay. Yeah, so it's not stuff. So I'm a bit pissed off with myself, quite frankly, that I let myself off the hook because I registered that I had done something productive. It's just that it's something productive that my future self will thank me for, not right now. So it's like and the most interesting and beautifully frustrating part is that usually I have a calm veneer and internal chaos. Now I have a really deep, deep down calm, and I can turn the chaos down enough to hear it. So it's like the chaos has become the facade, because I'm in a habit of living in chaos. So I'm fighting between who I was and who I am. But when I'm in the midst of that, it's shit, man. It's really, last week I was really heavy. No, last week I was okay. Then up to Saturday and I was really heavy. And it's only in reflection on Sunday that I thought, oh my goodness. But now I'm annoyed that I had to justify my humanity to myself. Even though my calm little voice is saying, Tamu, it's okay. The habit is still pulling chaos.
Hmm. Yeah.
And just a final piece. So where my ancestors come in is that I have, this is what I believe anyway, I come from a legacy whereby my ancestors endured and my parents and grandparents survived. What I know to be true from the communication I've been having is that they don't want me to express gratitude because that comes with a tinge of owing. They want me to appreciate what they experienced so that I can begin to thrive and pay that forward. But I'm so stuck in their story of endurance and survival, I'm finding it really difficult to move into the honor, appreciation, so that I can thrive. And I don't know if that makes sense, but I feel that so strongly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that. I can relate to what you're saying in terms of the pain of feeling separate from who you really are, misaligned from who you really are. Two things. I think you're going to love them. The first thing is about reinventing your past. I'm going to speak to that. And the other thing is, I'm hearing a desire for instant, absolutely instant gratification in your bank account. So I want to look at that. I'll start with
Yes.
Right. I'll start with reinventing your past. This is something that I've been working on a lot as well. I think a lot of us are very attached to our painful past and victim stories. I've spent a lot of time in therapy, in my journal, telling the story of my ancestry and what was passed on to me and how much of a burden it is. And in the same way that we are trying to redefine the future, the present and the future, we get to also redefine the past. It's actually a lot more empowering to go through the day coming from a past of abundance, and looking at all of the things in your past and in the story of your family that are about joy and abundance. For example, I come from a family where people had a culture of singing and dancing and eating the most beautiful, abundant, opulent food. Think of all of the times when you've experienced abundance as a child, the times when your parents provided for you, gave you what you want. If you re-examine your past, you can find loads of evidence for how joy and abundance was modeled for you. And it's easier to come from that past. And it's not that we're denying the shadows. We're aware of them, but we're choosing to not take them for the ride. And actually, I did this exercise myself. And looking back, I can think of many things that were really good about what was passed on to me through the generations. There were a lot of wisdom, a lot of abundance, a lot of really, really good stuff. I can choose that past. I can choose to come from that past. And it means letting go of my attachment to, you know, I'm a victim because this and this and this, because my lineage. And it means letting go of that, which is a challenge. So that's one thing for you to potentially think about. And the other thing about what you shared was I heard a desire for instant gratification, not to make yourself wrong for it. That desire for instant gratification, for immediate results, the desire to see a different balance in your bank account is good, it's great. It's what we all want. You want it. I want it. Everybody wants it. It's good. It's God speaking through you. And so how can you give yourself the gift of instant gratification? Remember what I shared about giving yourself the nap, giving yourself the client, giving yourself the rest, giving yourself the holiday, giving yourself the coach, giving yourself the course, giving yourself. How can you give yourself the gift of instant gratification this week where you get paid? How can you give yourself that? Often, again, it goes back to the allowing of that experience. This is what I want, and I'm going to give it to myself. How are you hearing this?
There is resistance. There is resistance because, and I'm, there is a resistance because I can very easily think about how I can instantly give service. And I've been knee deep in Tosha Silver's work and reciting her abundance prayer because I feel quite emotional saying it, but the receiving part is the part that I really, really struggle with. The receiving part is, I find that really challenging, if I'm perfectly honest. And what I have realized is that this thing about me being fiercely independent, this thing about me liking to do things on my own, this thing about me being a leader, this thing about, whilst to a degree those qualities are good, but most of it is rooted in my inability to receive. So it's not qualities that might seem good are actually coming from a place of lack. But what I also not just know and understand is that I give good value. But moving from there to, like, literally I'm thinking, well, what could I do right now to instantly create revenue, for example? I've got things lined up for September, but I'm just thinking, well, what can I do right now? I can do stuff to make myself feel, no, not, it's not even that way. I can do stuff to tap into the abundance that is within. And this month, instead of going ham with my new moon intentions, for example, I just thought, right, the new moon in Leo, I'm just going to embody lion. So luxurious moisturizing, luxurious bathing, resting when I need to rest, going for it when I need to go for it, like lions do. I've been doing that bit.
I want to say something edgy. Is that okay?
Come on. Nancy, you know I don't want messing around. Give me the edge. Give me the sharp edge.
So I have an image of a woman who really, 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 really wants to get laid. She wants to get laid today, not next month. So she decides to call somebody who's a friend with benefits. And so she gets dressed, she puts some nice lingerie on, she gets dressed, she calls him, she gets into her car, she takes herself there, she has a conversation with him, and then they start having sex. And then the feeling of penetration is not unlike the feeling of receiving £10,000 in your bank account. It's like this thing. Oh, pleasure. And so, like, the woman who decides to give herself the gift of penetration as an entrepreneur, I'm using this analogy because the pleasure is actually, it feels the same. You can give yourself the pleasure of that in your business, which means getting dressed, showing up, getting yourself there, making the call, having the conversation, having the intimacy with someone, because business takes a certain level of intimacy between two people for someone to send money into your bank, and having the experience of somebody saying yes, which feels like the foreplay, and then somebody actually sending money in your account, which feels like the penetration. It's like your bank account being penetrated with their money. And you get to give yourself the gift of that today versus next month. Does that bring up anything for you, the pleasure piece?
Yes, lots and lots. But more than the pleasure piece, and this was something that I had that came to me a couple of weeks ago, part of my also avoidance of intimacy is not wanting to take responsibility, because with intimacy comes responsibility. When and that's part of my independence story, because most of it lies with not wanting to take responsibility. So I think what I need to look at more than anything, because with freedom, with abundance comes responsibility. It's not free. There's responsibility, there's maintenance. And those are areas that I struggle with. I can do peaks, I can do bursts, but actually taking responsibility on the day to day is something that's a bit different. Yeah. There's more, but the more is for a one-to-one conversation, I think. But the long and short of whatever, when I pray, when I do any of my spiritual work, self-care, the things that keep coming up over and over and over again are, I deserve trust and hope. Like it's like I'm standing at the edge of the pool and I keep dipping my toe in, and it's going to feel fucking freezing when you dip your toe in. But when you jump in, within seconds, you acclimatize. I just need that push to jump in. Literally somebody that stands behind me, like my daughter would do when I'm faffing around, and just push. Because at this moment in time, my position is, I know cognitively, but in my body, there's a lot of resistance, and that resistance will dissipate once I get in the water. I'm not going to drown. But yeah.
That's beautiful. And it reminds me of what happened to my coach, because his coach threw him in the pool. So beware of what could happen in coaching. That happens. And you get to do that to your clients too. I don't have a pool here, unfortunately, but I'm working on it. So we're going to end here. This is a beautiful conclusion for you, Tamu, and for all of us, that we get to give ourselves permission to I don't want to go without sex more than I want to go without the money. I don't want to go without the rest, without the sleep. Thank you very much. I'm not going to be that woman. When we see a woman who gives herself the gift of what she wants, we find that very, very attractive. And so, you can give yourself permission to be that woman who doesn't go without pleasure, the pleasure of great food, great sex, great money, today. And yes, it does mean that showing up for that, getting in the car, driving to the dude, making it happen. And that's where we stop ourselves. That's where we think, nah, I can go without it today. I'll be all right. Survive.
Woo!
Yeah. But actually no, it has to be today. You want it today. And you get to have it today. So, thank you very much, Tamu. I'm going to mute your line. We're going to end here. And thank you so much for being in this conversation with me, for allowing this conversation to feel so powerful and real. And the last word, love yourself more than your success. Love yourself all the time. When you're succeeding, when you're not. Yeah, through all the seasons. Fertility and menopause, poverty and wealth, all of it. And I love you. And yes, if you want to speak to me one-on-one, info@nancyflores.com. Let's do this. Love you.